Well, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40, page 33 in the church Bibles. Joseph has just been thrown into prison. Despite doing nothing wrong, in fact, he's done the right thing. He's resisted the advances of Potiphar's wife, and yet she has spread lies. He's been thrown into prison. We pick up at verse 1 of chapter 40. Some time after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation, that the three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you. And please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "Well, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among the servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Amen. How do you handle disappointment? Disappointment. Maybe you've longed for healing for you or for a loved one. Or maybe you desperately want a job. Maybe you're longing this evening for a husband or for a wife or for a child. And you have faithfully and earnestly prayed for weeks and months, maybe even years. Here you are, and the sickness hasn't gone. You're still without that job. You're still perhaps without children or still single. And to be quite truthful, you're disappointed. You're disappointed. Maybe you're here and this evening you're a little bit disappointed with how things have turned out in your family life. Your children, as much as you love them, they've made choices perhaps which, to be quite honest, have been disappointing. Sometimes in the providence of God, it seems like everything's on track and you can see how God's working out it all, and then suddenly you receive a terrible setback, and it just leaves you, frankly, overwhelmed with disappointment. I reckon that's how Joseph might have been feeling in Genesis 40. It wasn't that long ago, remember, when he was unfairly thrown into a pit by his brothers before being sold off as a slave. And through his hard work and through his integrity, with God's hand blessing him, Joseph has risen to the top of Potiphar's house. And things for once for Joseph were looking up. And then all of a sudden, there's a terrible setback. He resists the temptations of Potiphar's wife, and his reward is to be unfairly thrown into prison. Or as he interestingly calls this place in verse 15 of the chapter, he calls it the pit. Verse 15, "Here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." Can you hear the emotion of this man? Here's a man whose hopes have again been dashed. A man who has been unfairly and unjustly treated. And he's in the middle of difficult disappointment. And I know, friends, that for some this evening, disappointment is a live issue. I know that some of you are in the middle of difficult disappointments yourselves. Maybe this evening you're relatively free from disappointment. But you don't need me to tell you, disappointments will come. Disappointments will come. How then do we handle disappointment? As those who believe in the sovereign hand of God, how do we handle disappointment? How do we develop the perspective of seeing disappointment as his appointments? Well, let's look and see how Joseph handles it. He's a shining example to us this evening. Three things to notice from the chapter. Firstly, don't miss the people God brings to you. Don't miss the people God brings to you. We left Joseph last time just being thrown into the prison. But as we saw at the end last week, even in this prison, the Lord was with Joseph. It's very clear from the end of chapter 39. And we're told that before long, Joseph rises once again. He rises up the ranks, so to speak, in the prison. And he's put in charge of other prisoners. We don't know how much time passes, but after a while, two new prisoners join Joseph, Pharaoh's cupbearer and his chief baker. We don't know why they ended up there. They were important men, though. This cupbearer, or the butler, he was the man who tasted the wine before Pharaoh would drink it, making sure Pharaoh wouldn't get poisoned. So he was always with the king. He was one of the chief advisors and confidants. The baker, he was the man who ensured the quality of all the food, not just bread, all the food that was served at the table. Whatever happened, these men had offended Pharaoh. They ended up with Joseph in the prison. Joseph, he's appointed to serve them. And what we're told of Joseph's actions here, it's really the most remarkable testimony to his character. To his character. Just put yourself for a moment in his situation. I think if you or I were Joseph, we would be so consumed with self-pity that we would barely even give a second thought to the needs of others around us. We would most likely be moping around, looking for someone to listen to our sob story. But not Joseph. Not Joseph. We're told in verse 5, one night the two men had dreams, dreams that troubled them. And look at how sensitive Joseph is to their troubles. Verses 6 and 7. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked them, "Why are your faces downcast today?" Now, we're very familiar with this, but have you ever thought, what a strange question this is? What a strange question for a prisoner to ask other prisoners, "Why are you sad?" You would think the answer would be obvious. Well, we're sad because we're in prison, stupid. But that it's not the prison. It's not the prison that's making these men sad. Joseph can see there's a particular sadness of spirit with these two men that's crushing them. "Why are your faces downcast today?" It's a question that shows incredible sympathy and understanding. It's been said that this is one of the most Christ-like examples in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus was the master of gentleness and tenderness. A bruised reed he will not break. And just see how Joseph is able to recognize bruised reeds in prison. Here's a man himself who's been sold as a slave by his own brothers. He's been tempted and seduced by another man's wife. Despite resisting it all, he's in prison. And there's no earthly reason that he should be here. Yet there are many heavenly reasons why he should be here. Not least these two men. And we're reminded, friends, here that there's no such thing as mere coincidence. Joseph didn't choose his fellow prisoners. He doesn't know why he's with this pair. He would never ask to be in this situation with this company. But there's been a series of providences that has thrust these men together. Joseph suddenly has company that he didn't ask for. Here he is, and he plays such an important part in the lives of these two men. Friends, in our disappointments, we must not miss the people that God brings into our lives. The providence of God, it's truly amazing. The people God sends our way, they don't come by chance or mere circumstance. We're not exactly seeking them out, but God brings their path and our path together and somehow locks us into the same providence together. And God's hand alone is the explanation for it. So maybe you're here this evening and you're dealing with people that you would not ordinarily seek out. But they're in your life tonight. They're in your life, and they're in your space. They're locked with you in a situation that there's no escaping. And it's the providence of God. And what a blessing it would be, friends, if instead of us being so preoccupied with our own concerns and problems and so full of self-pity, what a blessing it would be if we were a little bit more like Joseph. Why are you so sad today? What's troubling you? How can I help? Don't miss the people God brings to you. Secondly, don't miss the opportunities God gives you. Don't miss the opportunities God gives you. These two men open up and they start to tell Joseph the reason for their long faces. Verse 8. We've had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them. Well, fancy that. These men are troubled by dreams. Who are they speaking to? The dreamer. What was it that started all of Joseph's troubles? It was dreams. His own dreams. Remember how his brothers couldn't stand those dreams, and how they said, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him, throw him into one of the pits, then we will see what will become of his dreams." And here's a pair of prisoners troubled by their own dreams. Little did they know they were speaking to the expert. And again, I wonder what you or I would have thought in Joseph's situation. Having received such strong, vivid dreams, which seemed to point so clearly to Joseph rising to prominence over his brothers. It seemed so clear to Joseph. And yet, where is he? To all appearances, things could hardly have panned out worse. I would think for Joseph, to say the very least, it would be incredibly difficult to maintain your trust and faith in God. We could well imagine Joseph thinking, "Oh, you've had some dreams. Well, so much for my dreams. I had dreams once before. So much for God's plan for my life. What use is God to me now?" A man in Joseph's situation might well question if there even was a God or not. And yet that's not what Joseph says. His response is truly remarkable. Verse 8, Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." It's almost as if he automatically points them to God. In other words, he's not merely tending to the needs of these men. He's not merely serving them. He's not just being friendly towards them. He's witnessing to them. He's witnessing to them. Interpretations, they belong to God. If we stand back a little from this, we can see something of what God's doing here. He's given Joseph this opportunity to witness for the name of God. And Joseph has grasped it with both hands. Here's a conversation that presents itself in the amazing providence of God. And friends, no matter what circumstances we might be in this evening, no matter how disappointed we might be, in the providence of God, there will always be opportunities. There will always be opportunities to speak for him. We often pray that God would give us opportunities, don't we? We hear it. It's prayed for lots in our prayer meetings. That God would give us opportunity. Yeah, that's a good thing to pray for, but is it not a given? Isn't God always going to give us opportunities? Should we not be praying that we would have courage to grasp the opportunities? Joseph here, he's given an opportunity and he grasps it. The two men share their dreams. We're not going to focus on the dreams as such this evening. Both of them are similar. They're both tailored to the respective professions of the two men. The butler dreams about a vine with three branches. The beggar dreams about three baskets of bread. And yet, despite being so similar, Joseph gives vastly different interpretations to the dreams. The butler, in 3 days, he's going to be freed, restored to office. And the beggar, in 3 days, he's going to be freed, but then hanged on a tree. And isn't there another lesson here for us when it comes to grasping opportunities? When it comes to the gospel, it's true to say that there's both good news and bad news to the gospel. There's good news and bad news. Many Christians quite happy to share only the good news. News of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And while that's true and that's necessary, it's not the whole story. To be quite faithful in presenting the gospel, there's a warning too that must be given. A warning that to reject Christ is to continue on the path to destruction. And Joseph isn't afraid to tell the bad news. John Calvin gives a very helpful comment here. Helpful advice to preachers. He says, "The job of the preacher is to tell you the truth as God has told it to them, even when it's unpleasant." What a challenge that is to every preacher of the gospel. As we listen to preaching, friends, we should want messengers who will tell us the truth even when it's uncomfortable to us, even when we don't really like the message. We want messengers who will speak to us about our sin, about our responsibility, about our obligation, because they're sharing with us God's word. What a challenge this is to all of us in our sharing of the gospel. We have good news, but part of that good news is the bad news. So let's be faithful in speaking a word for Christ. In the middle of our disappointing circumstances, don't miss the opportunities that come your way. Ask for courage. Ask for courage to take the opportunity. And ask for courage to be faithful in taking the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunities. So don't miss the people and don't miss the opportunities. Thirdly, don't think God has forgotten you. Don't think that God has forgotten you. Joseph, he's been so kind, so caring to these prisoners, witnessing to them. He's got just one request from them. Verse 14, he appeals to the butler. "Only remember me when it is well with you. Please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh and so get me out of this house." 3 days later, his interpretations come true. And you can almost picture the butler giving Joseph the thumbs up as he goes out the prison door. "Don't worry, Joseph, I've got your back on this one." Maybe Joseph begins to collect a few things as he thinks about how great it's going to be to get outside and feel the sunshine upon his back once again. Night comes. There's no word. No word from the jailer about any release. He perhaps thinks, "Well, maybe it was too busy today. Tomorrow, the cupbearer will remember." The next day comes and goes with no word about any release. Maybe Joseph asks the jailer, "Well, have you heard anything about my situation?" "Nothing yet. Nothing yet, Joseph. Not a word." A week goes by and a month, 2 months. Joseph's hopes are slowly being put out until he finally realizes the cupbearer has forgotten me. He's forgotten me. It's made very clear, verse 23, the last verse. "The cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." And the very next verse, verse 1 of chapter 41, explains that 2 whole years pass with Joseph being forgotten. He's gone out of his way for this prisoner. He's given him time and effort and sympathy and compassion. And no sooner is the butler out than he forgets all about Joseph. Can you imagine it? With every day, every movement of the prison door, his feelings of being forgotten, they'd be accentuated more and more. The cruelty of the situation actually becomes greater as the time goes on. Every time the door opens and the window of hope opens, and then it's closed right again. Every time that door opened, it simply made his situation worse. It's a reminder that he'd been forgotten. It would have been one thing to have been forgotten, but to have the hopes dashed time and time and time again must have been incredibly difficult. The butler forgot Joseph. But God didn't forget Joseph. God didn't forget Joseph. We know this isn't the end for Joseph. We know that the butler's forgetting, it was a vital piece of Joseph's jigsaw. But he didn't know that. And so, friends, in our disappointments, don't make the mistake yourself of thinking that God has forgotten you. Especially when the door of hope is opening and closing for other people, don't think God has forgotten you. When all your friends get married while you remain single, when you see so many other people getting dream jobs while you're rejected time and time again, when someone your age has hardly ever been to the doctor but you seem to be going nearly every month, when an election of elders comes again and it bypasses you and you're disappointed, don't think God has forgotten you. Far from it. Isaiah 49, verse 16. I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. The Lord will not forget you. And your disappointments, they're not the result of being forgotten. They're actually the product of being remembered by God. As the life of Joseph is showing us time and time again, our disappointments, they are in fact his appointments. Nothing is outside his sovereignty. Even sitting in a dungeon for 2 years or so, still under the providence of God. Whatever God's doing in your life, he has not forgotten you, and he's doing it for your good. Just look at the life of Joseph. And just look at the life of Jesus. Every week, as we've been going through this life of Joseph, we've been drawing parallels between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus. And it's interesting how this prison scene is echoed somewhat in the life of our Lord. Here's Joseph with two prisoners thrown into prison with him. One of them goes out to life and happiness, and the other goes to death and misery. We're told at the end of his ministry, when our Lord was at the lowest point of his life, like Joseph, he was numbered with the transgressors. Like Joseph, there were two transgressors in particular placed on either side of Jesus. One of them went out to a position of life and salvation, and the other went to eternity lost and condemned. In both situations, three men thrust together by the amazing providence of God. In both situations, the two prisoners had radically different destinies. And in both situations, the same request was made. Remember me when it is well with you. Remember me when it's well with you. In Genesis, Joseph says it to the butler, but on Calvary's Hill, it was one of the prisoners that said it to Jesus. Remember me when it's well with you. And in essence, friends, that's what each one of us who know and love the Lord, that's what we've requested of him. Remember me, Jesus, when it's well with you. Right now, he's risen and exalted at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we ask, has he done what the butler did? Has he forgotten those who are still in the pit this evening? Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. Is not the glory of the gospel that Jesus Christ, having been raised to his position of power and authority, he has not forgotten any of those who are his. Rather, he continually remembers. He always lives to intercede and pray for us. And he will save to the uttermost all who believe in him. He forgets none. And so you can be assured this evening that in your disappointments, however great they may be, he's not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. So don't miss the people God brings. And don't miss the opportunities God gives. And let's not think that God has forgotten us. Amen.